for people that aren't familiar with the first version of Vine, who might be listening to this, there's a lot of people that want to see this come back. So when it launches, it will, I think, blow up with a user base that's already like pre-baked. People are waiting for this thing. Yes. If you just search for Vine 2 on Twitter, you're going to see a lot of people that are like, don't play around with me. Like, am I dreaming? Is this thing really coming back? You know, so there's a lot of excitement around it.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nick Runyon. Nick, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, man. It's going to be a great, exciting year.
It is going to be a great and exciting year. And there are going to be things in the world of social media that no one could have anticipated in 2017 as it's a fast-moving space. I was just meeting with some of my team members at Dunham & Company, and we were talking about some of the differences. So we're a fundraising agency, and historically fundraising happened with direct mail. And the reality is what works in direct mail 10 years later continues to work in direct mail. Like, things develop and you develop strategies and you tweak and adjust and you improve all the time, but it doesn't change tremendously. Where the reality of what's happening with clients is we gave them strategies 10 months ago that worked 10 months ago. And now we're saying, well, now you need to do it totally different. And they're getting frustrated because they're like, wait, but you told us this. I'm like, yeah, we did. But now we're telling you something totally different because it's moving so quickly. Nick, I'm curious, and we're going to dig into Vine 2 in this conversation. But before we get into Vine 2, how do you at CV and just you as an innovator continue to flex and adjust and adapt to the speed of technology?
I think that it begins with proper measurement. You know, like, you have to know what it is that we're doing, how are we going to measure success, and then make sure that your systems are set up in order to capture that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, in your example, you can tell a client, yes, it's been working. We told you that 10 months ago, and look, here's how we measured success. But it's not just, oh, here's a new thing, let's try that out. You've got measurable results that show that it does deliver on whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
That thing, that whole idea, I think is really difficult for people to get their heads wrapped around, you know, including myself.
Yes.
There's a discipline to stay on task, you know, and to stay like engaged in measuring your workflows or whatever the case might be over and over and over.
Yep.
Being kind of, there's a rigor there that's required in order to say, oh yeah, this thing is producing the results that we intend or not. And then how do you use those key performance indicators to adjust your behavior?
Yeah. I love that. I think there's two sides to measurable results that where I feel like churches and ministry leaders will sometimes miss it with social media, or maybe this is just not, there's not even a clearly defined, here's how you measure success on social media. Is one, a lot of churches, most churches don't measure success, period, on social media. There's maybe two measures of success: giving and butts and seats, you know, and if a church looks at, well, here are two KPIs that we're measuring, how many more people are attending a worship service and how many more, what's our giving connected to that. And so when you try to connect social media, then the metric is it getting more people to come to church? Is it getting more people to give, donate to, you know, to tithe? And so it's hard to know what to measure sometimes. And then the other side is you don't measure anything and you just kind of just say, you know, so I think here's the two sides. You either measure nothing and you're just kind of like, well, we just do it because I listened to a podcast and they said I should do social media, or we do it and we expect immediate results. And so we don't know what to measure in between that initial touch point and the desired end result. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I'm laughing to myself here because we had this conversation going on in a private Facebook group that we have for some of our CV outreach partners the other day. Because I think it is a common question. It's like, there's a disconnect. How does social media activity from your church's Facebook page transfer down to the things that we really care about, like mission effectiveness, you know? Yeah. And like, how can you track a baptism from social media activity or something like that? Yeah, one of our partners, Justin Allison, asked a great question. He's like, I want to create a weekly digital reach engagement kind of metric. Yeah. And we were just talking about that. So, and I think, you know, the thing is to typically start with, oh, I'm going to roll up all these numbers that Facebook and whoever pushes to me, and I'm just going to report that. Well, I mean, you can, but sometimes in the worst case, that's a vanity metric. It's just a big number that makes you feel good.
Yep.
But what's it really mean? Yeah. In the best case, you kind of, you can tease out from there, like what's the onward impact. And that's what we were really talking about was with him and with others in this conversation, which I think what became a good conversation. It was like, what's the end goal? You know, yeah. Peter Drucker always was great about that stuff. All of the Peter Drucker business stuff I love. And he's like, begin with the end in mind. And that's the same thing here. Like, how do you build to that? So,
yeah. Yeah. So let's walk through something new that's on the horizon. Let's start with an end in mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's my weird comment at the beginning. It's going to be a great year. And you have people listening will be like, oh yeah, Nils hesitated because that's a weird way to start off the podcast. I misread the cue. I thought we were going straight to Vine 2.
I went on a tangent immediately, unintentional. This is, you can go to your counseling session with Jay Cranda because this happens often, and he is still in counseling from the tangents from this podcast. So I will let the two of you process through what it means to have a conversation with me. And there's probably a lot of clients that can sympathize with you as well. So we're talking about Vine 2 in this episode of the podcast. So those do get a little backstory. And I even as we were just kind of talking about what are we going to talk about, I said, hey, let's talk about Vine 2. And you're like, what?
Back. It's back. Where have I been? I missed this.
So Vine, for those that maybe aren't aware of Vine, was it exploded onto the social media scene maybe 2 years ago. I don't remember when it exploded, but I remember seeing it and just think, I mean, seeing it just, I mean, I'm an old guy in the world of social media. And so the majority of new things I see now, the first thing I think is, this is dumb. This is ridiculous. Why would anybody use this? But you saw it with like Peach. You saw it with Periscope was the one that I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Periscope was awesome.
But Vine was ridiculous. I'll be honest. I bet 25% of what I watch on YouTube now with my kids are clips of Vine that were repurposed to YouTube. Yeah. We love watching kids hurting themselves from Vine videos on YouTube. But Vine was like this explosion. And what we saw is a lot of YouTube celebrities that came out of Vine. So Logan Paul, who's very popular right now in the midst of his suicide video, it was a Vine celebrity. And then he moved to YouTube. But kind of so what happened, a lot of people basically got internet famous through Vine. And then Vine was acquired by Twitter. They got a ton of followers, to get high engagement, acquired by Twitter. And Twitter basically played around with it and just shut it down. You know, they're like, this isn't really worth our time. It's weird when that happens. It's pretty common in the tech world. Mm-hmm. But now what we're seeing is the creator of Vine was like, you know what? You guys don't like it? I'll create a better Vine. We'll call it something else. We'll get all those old Viners, you know, and let's just do this again, but do it better.
We'll get the band back together.
They're getting the band back together.
The first Vine video I ever watched, so I got that app, I downloaded it, and I saw Gummy Money by Nicholas Megalis. And if you don't know the Gummy Money video, you should look it up. It's on YouTube now. But it's like, I was like, what is this? And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, these short cycling videos. You're exactly right. We will just fall into like a Facebook video hole multiple times a week. My boys and I gather around and we just start watching that kind of stuff. I think Vine, this is why it's going to be a great year. I think like hipsters like yourself, Nils, have been bringing back old styles. I got a call the other day actually from my dad, and he's like, hey, I got a tip for you. Hot tip from dad. Wool is coming back. And I'm like, I was cracking up. But I was at the store that you and I went and visited the other day when you were in Dallas, that Filson store. And I was like, hey, you guys have any wool shirts? I was there last night. And this guy with a beard down to his belly, young guy, he's probably like 25. He has like a sock hat on, giant, massive beard. He's like, man, wool is awesome. I was like, oh, my dad had a hot tip on this one. But like, here's the whole thing. Like, Vine's coming back too. So now we're getting into like the retro. So record players are big. Yeah. don't know if you've seen the Sony Walkmans. I tried to buy a Sony Walkman for my son for Christmas.
No.
Because of Guardians of the Galaxies. Those things were like $80 on eBay or something.
You know what I think should come back is the little Home Alone recorder thing. You remember like Home Alone 2 where it like changes voice? Like that thing was awesome.
Game Boy? Original Game Boy. I've been trying to find one.
Yeah, I bet that. I bet there's some of those out there.
Yeah. And then you give it to my son and he's like, this is dumb. Yeah. I want an iPhone.
why would you ever play with this?
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about Vine 2. So so we don't know what Vine 2 is going to be. But we do know something is coming. It's probably going to be similar to Vine. So if you are a church leader and you hear something is coming, I think you have a couple of options here. You can do what most people are going to do and just say, you know what, let's see what happens. You know, I'll keep an eye on it. I'll maybe, you know, look for articles when it comes out, and maybe I'll even download it when it comes out and see what other people do. Or you can kind of be one of those early adopters and jump in and say, you know what, we're going to try to make a splash here on this new app. And maybe, you know, maybe there's going to be a land grab and getting there early. And so, you know, there's a lot of value in getting there early. I think about with online church, we grew to 100,000 on our Facebook page in the first 6 months. And then about 40% of people that liked our page saw our content because that was early days of Facebook. We got in early. I saw the same thing with Twitter, you know, when getting in early, you know, really helps kind of build that traction if you go all in pretty quickly. And then if you sit and wait on some others, you can just feel like you're constantly playing catch up. Yet at the same time you go in early, like I remember with Peach came around. I was like, oh, I got to figure this thing out. And then it was gone by the time I even halfway figured it out. And so this is that you can waste a lot of time doing this, or you can maybe catch traction. Nick, I would love to hear how you would process for church leaders. How would you navigate this potential new development?
This is where I always feel like I really feel inadequate. It's, cause we can sit and have this conversation and I'm going to default to, oh, you know, you have to add something that's valuable and, you know, but like oftentimes a lot of this stuff to just gain an audience and some exposure, is completely out of left field. Yes. You know what I mean? Totally. It's like gummy money videos or fail videos and all that. So what are you saying, Nils? Like a church should jump on and just start posting fail videos? Like, oh, look, maybe this kid dropped the communion plate as we're passing it, you know, juice is everywhere. So
maybe. I think, honestly, I think there's a couple of things. I think we do know here's what went viral before. You know, mm-hmm. So here were some of the viral nature of Vine. I think you can almost say, you know, we're not looking to go viral. We're looking to build an audience that's kind of native to who we are. But we want to capture a new audience that might be more attentive where there's less content competing mm-hmm. with their content. So we want to kind of build that quickly. So I'll tell you what I would like to do, you know, and where I would like to see some ministries get creative. You know, I have a feeling it's going to be very similar to the old Vine. And I would almost assume it's going to be identical and then adjust from there. And so if you know it's going to be kind of these 6-second videos, then start pull together the most creative, three of the most creative people you can at your church and just say, what should we create mm-hmm. over the next month? Assuming it's going to be about a month. So that when it comes out, we're releasing a video every 15 minutes and we are just flooding that with creative, over the top, interesting content. And I think to your point, Nick, I would do church fails. You know, I would do like the communion spill, you know, whatever it might be, or like, pastor fails, you know, or I think about like John Crist is crushing Facebook right now. With just his short videos making fun of Christians. People like sarcasm. People like goofiness. But Vine is a little different than Facebook. And I'm watching John Crist on Instagram, and he's funny, but it's not the right medium that is getting the same traction on Facebook and YouTube. So I think finding those 6-second clips and just seeing what others did. I mean, Logan Paul is probably the most famous Viner who made the conversion. Now, the guy is a nut and a half. But look, I think like youth ministries, you could have essentially a global youth ministry overnight if you were to get ahead of this Vine movement. And I have a feeling that that they're going to, at least the first month to 2 months, they're going to get a lot of attention.
I think Zach King did a great job on Vine too. And he's had some really big, I think he's built like a career out of this, you know, like crazy video editing stuff. His Vine stuff was so good. And he's on Instagram now. If you don't know him, you should follow him. I think he's great. But I love your idea about build up that library. Yeah, that's a great strategy. Like assume that it's going to roll out with 6 second videos. Let's get 100 of them or 1,000 of them or, you know, put, I don't know, you want to put the content production in the hands of like your youth group kids and just say, hey, we're looking for, you know, 6 second videos.
Yeah.
Everybody bring them in. And I bet you would get some hilarious stuff.
Yeah. You know? Maybe get 100 in the can and maybe do a competition, you know, and have everybody submit it when we're going to be releasing them. And
crowdsourcing that builds in like your audience when the thing launches too, you know, cause everybody's going to want to share their video and see what everybody else did.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I would. And so with that too, I would love to, for a pastor, a ministry leader that empowers a bunch of volunteers and whether that's teenagers, adults, creatives, in creating that content, but literally like you just say, we're going to give this a week and we're going to say my full-time job for this week is I'm going to be a Vine pastor and I'm going to see how much we can shepherd people on Vine. And then we adjust from there. But if somebody gives it 40 hours, in a week that the week that Vine launches. So literally the moment it opens up, you can be in there and you're saying, you know what? And I say it's 40 hours. Like, I feel like that's one of those 80 hour weeks.
Yeah.
You just said like, we're going to do a lock in, like we're going to own Vine for the next, you know, 7 days. And if God does something, we're going to go in for 14 days. And if we just, you know, we spun our wheels, then we gave it a shot. But I think the opportunity is far greater than the loss. If it falls flat. And I think the chances that it falls flat are much greater than the chances that it succeeds, but I still think it's worth the risk.
Oh yeah. I mean, what is the risk? You know, wasted your time, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but that content, especially if you're capturing it ahead of time, can be used elsewhere. So it's
totally. And that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying on YouTube now. Because people are taking old Vines and putting them together in YouTube videos. Yeah. You can see all the good Vines on YouTube now.
Right.
And so it will, at the end of the day, I think you can repurpose your time that you used on that and find value. And at the other day, like I think about a lot of youth ministry things that I did that were ridiculously dumb, but the time of just doing it together and building a team and having a goal, even if the end result wasn't what you intended, I think you're at the end of the day, you can easily say this was not a waste of time. So I say go for it, especially like a young adult pastor, like, man, this is a huge opportunity, I think, for a young adult ministry to just do something really crazy and exciting and global, you know, or say global, like really, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think Vine will be a global sensation among 18 to 30-year-olds.
Well, for sure. I mean, for people that aren't familiar with the first version of Vine, who might be listening to this, there's a lot of people that want to see this come back. So when it launches, it will, I think, blow up with a user base that's already like pre-baked. People are waiting for this thing. Yes. If you just search for Vine 2 on Twitter, you're going to see a lot of people that are like, don't play around with me. Like, am I dreaming? Is this thing really coming back? You know, so there's a lot of excitement around it, which is unusual for a new like social app launch.
Yes.
Like this. I think that, you know, if you're like a teaching pastor, you have, a teaching ministry, you could do like 6 second truth bombs. Like that could be your thing, you know, or something like that. But is Vine really more geared towards like the student ministry, young adult space?
What do you think? I think so. But you know, Snapchat, so my belief about Snapchat is that Snapchat was created to stay too confusing for parents to ever be able to figure it out.
Yeah, probably.
Instagram but Instagram was one of those like that medium of, you know, content that disappears and it's mobile only, became very relevant for all generations. Now there are, I look at who's watching my Instagram stories, and I look at who is posting Instagram stories. It's younger people that are posting Instagram stories. At least half of the people that are watching my Instagram stories are over the age of 45. And so I think you're seeing consumption having a mass audience. And so I think Vine might actually have an audience that that can be older, but I think it's going to be a sensei of a 14 to 25 year old, you know, focus, and which is where I feel like it's a youth young adult focus. But there are niches in everything. You know, I think about even if I'm thinking about like what I might do as a personal brand, I'm like, maybe this is an opportunity to just do dad fails, and I just record like 100 dad fails. And yeah. I build an audience of connecting with dads. And then as a pastor, then my hope would be, you know, I had 100 dad fail videos that I connect with a bunch of dads. And they're like, hey, dad, love your kids and love Jesus. You know, like I create then a connection to introduce a conversation about Jesus. Or, you know, go to my YouTube channel and you can learn more, you know, like let's connect in a deeper way here. But I'm just going to connect with dads. And this is going to be a front door for me to move them maybe to another space where we have more meaningful interaction that goes beyond 6 seconds. So I think if we're just creative enough, and at the end of the day, what is probably not going to work on Vine that we want to work everywhere is taking the pulpit and putting it on Vine. So taking sermon clips and putting those on Vine is probably not going to work. You're going to have to get a little more creative than that in this medium. So that's,
well, I think the suggestion to build that content library to be released whenever it launches, I think that's a great idea. And when it launches, you're going to be in a content stream of 6 second craziness.
Yes.
You know, so think about like, who's my audience? What's their context? You know, that's the context. How do you engage there? But just a massive kind of volume of Vine videos that play seems really smart to me. I like that.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. We'll see what happens with Vine 2, what it will be called. We will talk about it again here on the podcast. I think it's interesting and exciting for churches to think, you know what, 2018 is a whole new opportunity. If you feel like you are playing catch up, there are opportunities for you to be on the front end of new developments and new technologies. I think there are so many things we talk about here with virtual reality and augmented reality and messenger bots. And there's plenty of room to get ahead and not just play catch up. And so I can't wait to see how creative churches are. I think we have a creative God, and I think we have the best story ever to tell. And so let's use these mediums to reach people and love people and tell them about Jesus.
So. Yeah, I think let's get the conversation going too on the Facebook page. I mean, share some ideas. We'll make a post today about that, and then you know, what are your better ideas than church fails, dad fails, and what was the other one? Youth group crazy.
Youth group basically. Crazy. Yeah.
So yep. Let's see what everybody comes up with. That'd be good.
Yeah. So go to the Social Media Church Facebook page. Leave a comment, join the conversation, and let's figure out Vine 2 together, and let's go crush it together. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. If you would, take the time to leave a review on iTunes. It would mean the world. It would help other people find this podcast and become a part of the conversation. We will talk to you next week on the Social Media Church Podcast.